It has been a little bit like it's been kind of very disruptive, I suppose. As you said, we were just off the kind of back of a poor result, and we were looking forward to getting back back at home and trying to push on, trying to get into promotion places. So obviously had the news then when we did the day before the Leighton Orient game last week to say that it'll be off and away until the 3rd of April. And then obviously, as you said yesterday, getting the news, there'll be a further probably at least 3 to 4 weeks. So, it's been, I suppose, the only thing is everyone's in the same boat. So we're just going to have to try and play by ear, day by day. As you see yourself, there's announcements going out daily. So we're kind of just have to have the phone switched on and see what comes in when you wake up in the mornings, really.
And you're back in Ireland. I know your plan is to head back to the UK in the coming days. And the two governments have completely contrasting approaches to the COVID-19 situation. So you're seeing the messages here at home in Ireland. Many people think the UK delayed to let events like Cheltenham and so on go ahead. But you can see already the repercussions across football with players being laid off, people being offered half pay. You're lucky you have a 3-year contract with Bradford, but all around the football industry now, big clubs, small clubs, they're all going to suffer.
Yeah, definitely. I think that was one of the main concerns lads had the minute we heard that football was going to be delayed for 3 weeks on the original case, and straight away lads were kind of saying, I suppose we're kind of lucky about for us, the kind of club has his finances in a good place, and we had sold a lot of season tickets, so fingers crossed and lads won't be in too much financial difficulty. But for smaller clubs, especially in League 2, your likes of your kind of your Macclesfields who are already suffering, your kind of Far Screens, but clubs like that, who probably wouldn't have as big a budget, you will see them suffer now in the next couple of weeks. And especially where lads are the contracts, I think contracts finish usually on June 30th. So if football goes beyond then, it's starts to become a little bit of a problem for that. So it's not ideal for anyone, especially as you said, for them clubs that would probably kind of feel the repercussions of not having probably supporters in through the gate every week to pay the players.
So you're on the cusp of those playoff positions, 9 games left in the regular season for an opportunity to get into those vital playoff positions. It was your ambition from the start of the season. If the English Football League, and some predict, will have to cancel the season entirely, how does that set back, you know, the ambitions of the club? Because effectively the season is null and void and all the hard work this season is just really thrown to one side. Or do you really think of the bigger picture here and say, look, we will get back playing football next season and we just have to readjust to that?
As you said, it will be a bit of a kick in the teeth. There's no kind of denying that, really. We've obviously worked, you come back the end of June and you put in I don't know how many weeks work in pre-season to go into, as you said, a long hard season. You're playing Saturday, Tuesday in League 2, League 1 for a lot of those weeks, so obviously then for them to turn around and if they were to say that it's not a void, which we obviously are hoping it won't be and we'll get a finish, but it will be a bit of a disappointment. But as you also said, it's kind of people's health is really at the forefront of what everyone's doing at the moment. So obviously I have a 3-year contract, so I know myself that I'll have another crack at it next year, and I suppose that's just the way you have to look at this. There's another opportunity. Hopefully no one's comes out too bad at the end of it and you can just kind of crack on and get going whenever pre-season does come in.
And even though you're probably playing in the last of the tiers of the big leagues over in England, there's a huge amount financially at stake with a promotion bid or even getting to League One for next season. Bradford, like you mentioned, very lucky, crowds well over 10,000 for each home game. But financially, is there any possibility that the manager will have to sit down with the players, and even though you have a 3-year contract, now look at that? And the worry is that some of your very good friends in the team will effectively lose their jobs and the whole club will suffer as a consequence.
Yeah, most definitely. I've even seen, obviously, reports kind of yesterday of a few League of Ireland clubs having to kind of maybe for a little bit anyway leave off players and staff from their wages and out of their contracts. So when you see things like that happening, it obviously kind of puts into perspective. And from our own view, I suppose it could very well happen, as you said, that maybe the manager will have to sit down, and whether it be players that have a year left on a deal, or maybe players that are on too much money that the club maybe can't afford anymore if they run into a bit of trouble. And a few of my close mates on the team will have contracts running out at the end of June, so it's, maybe they were in a kind of a situation where they might have been able to negotiate a new deal, and now that might be off the table. So it'll have kind of huge repercussions really on lads' careers, as well as just kind of in the short term. But obviously, if you're kind of in the bargaining chip for a bigger contract, that could be kind of out the window now. So yeah, it'll be kind of an interesting few weeks to see what kind of happens.
Must be heartening when you see the likes of Enda Stevens and James McLean and some of the higher paid professionals in England pooling their money together as such and donating a huge €25,000 to League of Ireland players. It just shows the precarious nature of football, but particularly in Ireland, Paddy, where you learned your trade with Limerick FC and there were financial troubles when you were with the club. You can only imagine it'll only take a week or two of no gates or no revenue, and a lot of League of Ireland clubs are literally backs to the wall now and probably fearing for their future as well as the players' future.
Yeah, most definitely. It was very good to see, as you said, the likes of the Irish boys in the top leagues coming together so to try and help out the lads. But it looks like it's going to be kind of far worse, as you said. It seems like a Rovers and maybe a couple more had to leave off, and I'm sure they won't be the only ones. And but probably the most frustrating thing will be, as you said, it won't just be the players, it will be the clubs themselves who will find themselves kind of in a situation where they might not be able to kind of come back from it, especially if just Irish kind of stops football for the next 3 to 4 months. That's obviously a busy season for League of Ireland, being a summer league. So if they don't have, obviously at Limerick, we were kind of nearly relying on gates coming in every week to make sure we get our paycheck at the end of the month. So if they don't have them, it's kind of hard to see where the money's going to come from, unless, as you said, the League of Ireland or the government comes in and helps out clubs. But I suppose that's to be discussed at maybe a later date.
You've picked up a couple of injuries this season. It's been stop-start at times with Bradford, but when you've been in the side, you've got rave reviews from the fans, a couple of Man of the Match awards picked up as well. But in the intervening period now, where you've got to keep fit and get yourself back to full fitness after that slight knock that you picked up lately, it must be very difficult, Paddy, to train alone, not have the camaraderie of your teammates around you, pushing each other to the limit. It lacks that intensity, doesn't it, when you have to do it on your own?
Yeah, it definitely does. I literally just now back from the West Rovers, my local soccer club, after doing a session on my own, and it can get tough. It's all right if you know you're only doing it maybe for a week or two, or obviously in the off season when you're kind of winding down, or maybe getting ready for pre season. But when you're doing it kind of week on week, not knowing when you're going to get back playing, it can get a bit tough. And as you said, it's nowhere near the same as going into training every day when you've 25, 30 lads kind of having a banter and kind of getting you through each day. But yeah, look, as you said, I've had a stop-start season, so it's kind of down to me now just to make sure I'm kind of back fit now and to stay fit. And whenever we do kind of get going again, that's I can kind of hit the ground running this time and hopefully have no injuries before the end of the season.
I always wonder, I know at local levels there's massive WhatsApp groups and a bit of banter, but how is your manager and Bradford keeping in touch with professional players? Did they do it by email? Is it a text message? Do you still have that real intimate relationship with the manager whereby he'll text you on a personal level, or is it a group text? How do the club communicate, particularly with players now that have returned to their native lands?
It will be generally, obviously, the players themselves will have their own personal WhatsApp group, and then there will be a club WhatsApp group where the media officer, the secretary, the player liaison, and the assistant manager will all be in it with the players as well to kind of relay any messages. As you said, especially if there's probably 4 or 5 Irish lads now that have come home for a couple of days just to see family and make sure everything's all right, and I suppose to pass on messages as to kind of news coming out or when we're back or any changes to the programmes that we've been given or anything like that. So they'll actually be relayed on the WhatsApps as well. And the manager himself, if he wants to get in touch, he will he'll phone us individually or by text message himself. So that's kind of the way how it works. It's not too different really to any other team up and down the country, I'd say.
Yeah, communication is communication at the end of the day. So effectively, you're out of action now until the end of April. And you look at the international scene as well, Paddy, where Euro 2020 has been postponed for a year. The playoffs, Ireland-Slovakia, has obviously been put back to a much later date. Do you think, as a common person and away from your footballing professionalism at the moment, they're really good and intelligent decisions, or do you think they should have been made be played behind closed doors?
I think they're a good decision, really, looking at the overall kind of view of it, because as players ourselves, we kind of were talking in the dressing room before any decisions were made, and we were kind of thinking, you know, will we just crack on with the behind closed doors? But having seen a couple of the games in Europa League and that, it's nowhere near the same. Like, it's a lot of players will kind of buzz off the crowd on a Saturday. So for them to play, especially the Euros qualifications, they're such massive games for the country, and to have no Irish fans be able to travel out there and support the team and have it behind closed doors, I don't think it would have been the same for anyone, including the players and management team. So I think it was probably the smartest move, just to push it back, and hopefully we can have a full house going over and supporting the lads when it does get rescheduled.
Yeah, finally, Paddy, I suppose they say you only miss something when it's gone, and football will return. You're an icon in many people's eyes in the UK, and back here, certainly in Limerick, people really look up to you. I'm sure your message is the same as what's going out from the public agencies and public health, is keep your social distance, you know, abide by all the guidelines that are going on at the moment, and football will return in time, and we can really look forward to it then. But for now, health and safety are paramount to society.
Yeah, 100%. I think I was only talking to my mum the other day when I got back, and we were kind of just saying, look, there's obviously they're a lot older than I am, and as I mean, maybe I myself wouldn't be at risk of the coronavirus, they certainly kind of would fall maybe into that bracket. So 100%, this is way bigger than football and way bigger than most, pretty much everything. So as you say, just to keep your social distance, make sure your kind of hygiene's at a good level, and hopefully in the next couple of weeks we can kind of come out of this, and as you said, maybe football can come back and give people a bit of a release from the kind of where we're at the moment.